welcome to episode 51 of season 11 of Movie Rob Minute, the daily podcast, where we curry our way through the 2001 HBO award-winning miniseries Band of Brothers, 5 minutes at a time. I'm Rob, and joining me today is Tyson Ferris of the Real Jaws Minute. Welcome back to the show. It's been 10 seasons since you've been here.
Yeah. My goodness.
I guess I just needed to do something that's World War II related, that in some ways deals with prisoners and stuff like that.
Right. Yeah.
So welcome back, Tyler. Tyson. Oh, welcome back.
Yes. Tyson. Yes. It's okay. I get Tyler all the time. So many times. Thanks for having me back. I'm excited. This is a great series, and this is a great chunk of minutes as well.
Yeah. Okay. Well, let's start at the top. What is your background with Band of Brothers?
Band of Brothers. I watched it. I think I had a friend who had a HBO like cable thing, and they were recording it, and they were distributing it to other movie buffs in college there. And that's how I ended up watching it. And I was a huge fan of Saving Private Ryan, and to a lesser extent, Thin Red Line, which, kind of started that whole, look of what World War II looks like, right? There's a cinematographical look now. Like, when you make a World War II movie, it just has to look like these things. You know what I mean?
Right.
Mm-hmm. They this is what I'm talking. That desaturated, grainy, sort of look, which I love. I think it works perfect, and there's a reason it's stuck around. Janusz Kaminski and Spielberg, they came up with that whole style, and obviously they hit it really well, and that's how they make those movies now, and TV shows, and it still continues all the way to now with like Masters of the Air. It was shot.
Masters of the Air is still by the same people.
So. I just think it's interesting how that kind of visual language has lasted for so long. But you can see ones even made outside of, Hanks and Spielberg. They look pretty much
because nowadays that's what people think, that it looked like during World War II.
But yeah, that's
everything was saturated.
Yeah, right.
No, there's color, but
there was no color. there was green. You could see green grass and blood, and everything else was gray. I've been a fan of this series. I thought it was a logical extension from that Saving Private Ryan story.
Well, there is a connection between Saving Private Ryan
probably
and
even
and
I kind of felt that
and the real story of Band of Brothers.
Oh, really? Because I know Saving Private Ryan is largely, other than the landing, it's largely.
No, the characters, obviously, right. The characters are all fictional, and the actual story itself, but it's based on the story of the Nyland brothers, and one of the Nyland brothers was in the 501st.
Right.
And he and Skip Muck were like best friends.
Oh, cool. Okay. I did.
Yeah.
Oh, wow. Does that show up in the show? Does Nyland show up in the show?
No.
Oh, okay.
No. Okay. No, they don't mention it.
Gotcha. So, I knew it was based on a real situation with brothers, I didn't realize he was part of the 501st. That's cool.
Yeah, exactly.
And after watching the series, I ended up reading Stephen Ambrose's book as well. Anyway, so that's kind of my background on it. Love it.
Okay. Is it something that you go back and watch often, or
I'd
you've
say
only seen it
I'd
a few
say I
times?
probably do about every 2 years I'll go back and
Okay.
watch it. I'd say on average.
Okay. That makes sense.
Yeah, it's one of those ones that I just yeah, you just go I go back through and watch every just to refresh. It's just really good stuff. It's very compelling. It's yeah, it's like it's up there with like my like Lord of the Rings. Like I watch that probably every 2 years, you know. So very different, but you know, there's just some you know, Star Wars is that way. Every you know, you kind of James Bond, I'll roll through those about those are more I'll use my wife and I'll do a rewatch of Bond. That's about every 4 years or so. We'll roll through all the movies, you know. But anyway,
Okay, fair enough.
yeah, but yeah, so that's kind of where I'm coming from.
Okay, very cool. So and now I will ask the next question that we will probably talk about over the next of the course of the next 3 days. Why did you specifically want these episodes?
So these episodes, which I just referred to as to you as
Bull in the barn.
Bull in the Barn, those ones I specifically asked for because there was a lot of either visual similarity or actual similarity to some encounters that my grandfather had in World War II. Now he wasn't in Europe. He was all the way over in China with the Flying Tigers. But he had some very similar things happen to him that were very similar to what happens to Bull. So and I think I'll kind of sparse that out as we kind of move through the minute. So
Okay, the 5 minutes.
the 5 minutes,
I said for the first two episodes are 5 minutes. The third episode will be slightly shorter, but that's okay.
That
We'll
just
get there.
semantics, yeah.
That's right. We'll get there on Wednesday. You know, just the way it is. When you cut up a movie, you know, there's always going to be a little bit of you get a little bit of the trimming at the end. You know.
Yeah, so
Okay.
yeah, so yeah, I mean I guess to start off, he was a very very good pilot, but no matter how good you are, you do get shot down eventually, or unfortunately. The second time he was shot down, he had to bail out very, very low, all of about maybe he estimates anywhere from 100 to 50 feet above the ground when he got out of the plane. So he hit pretty hard, even though he had a parachute, broke his leg in the process. Was able to cut off his chute and, you know, stuff it kind of in his flight jacket, and he there immediately was, you know, pursuing Japanese, you know, going towards the plane, because they saw it go down, and he hid in the ditch, which we see guys doing. He basically hid in the ditch and just basically lay it on the ground while the Japanese troops went marching the other way. And he was able to the last guy, basically the last guy in the line, he was able to the guy that was bringing up the rear, he came out of the ditch and grabbed that guy and just stuck a knife in the throat, pulled him down into the ditch, took his clothes, and was able to get further down the road under the guise of a Japanese soldier. I'll that'll be my cliffhanger for until the next episode. So.
Okay. All right. That's great. Wow. That is just. I know that you and I talked about it in the, you know, when we did the Great Escape, that that when I eventually get the Bridge on the River Kwai, that'll be like perfect for more stories about your grandfather,
Right.
you know, as a POW in that in the Pacific theater.
Right,
But
right. Yeah.
right now we're here.
Right. So, yeah.
All right, so episode 51 begins with Bull getting ready to take a life, and ends with the Dutch girl watching in shock. So on Friday, we ended with basically Bull being stranded in this little town, and he eventually made his way into a barn and in the end confronted someone. You know, we're not 100% sure who it is. He's not dressed in a German uniform, so you can assume that it's a local, but we're not 100% sure yet. And today's episode opens with him, you know, holding a knife to this guy's throat, getting ready to figure out what it is that he needs to do. And, you know, Bull is in survival mode. You know, he's just got to figure out a way of making it out of this. You know, he's stranded theoretically behind enemy lines. You know, we saw last week all those burning tanks, you know, that theoretically were there to help them, but they can't help anymore. And everyone retreated, and Bull just needs to figure out how to get out of here and stay alive.
Yeah, and then how did he get on it? Remind me, how did he get on his own? I only watched my chunk of the episode. Remind me how he got separated.
So he was basically being chased by a burning tank, and he
Oh,
was crawling.
that's right. That's right. I remember. Yep. Okay. Got it.
He was crawling in the ditch, trying to stay away from this burning tank,
Right.
and he got separated from everyone else and ended up, you know, climbing into a drain.
Yeah, that culvert, right?
That's right.
Yeah. And then the whole
And then eventually made it out.
damn German army starts marching over his head, right?
That's right.
Yeah. Yeah, got it.
Exactly.
Cool. Yeah, this daughter basically saves this guy's
She
life.
saved your father.
Yeah,
Yeah.
and makes it very clear exactly what's happening. You know, he clocks it pretty quick, which is good on Bull. So, because that farmer's a big dude and probably would put up a pretty good fight, I'd imagine.
Probably.
Yeah,
Well,
I mean,
you know, he might be a big guy,
Bull's a
but
big dude too, but that guy looks even bigger than he
exactly.
looks even bigger than Bull. So
Yeah, but Bull has the training,
yeah,
so
that's
that's
true.
not
Yeah,
even
I
worth
mean,
it.
yeah, he's not a yeah the Dutch guy's not he's just a Dutch farmer. He's not a GI, but
That's right.
yeah, I think these are great. I love performance. You know, this you can just play this scene completely silenced and totally get everything that's going on. It's pretty great.
Yeah, I mean, and again, one of the whole things here is that you know, there's a language barrier between these two guys. So, you know, the first minute or so, you know, there's just music because neither of them knows how to discuss anything. There's no way of them talking to one another here.
Yet everyone realizes they're on the same side, right?
Yeah. Well, he realizes it when he sees the daughter, and he realizes, okay, you know, there's maybe this is a local.
Yeah, and then very quickly, you know, they hear Nazis and everybody has the same reaction,
That's right. I mean,
so
Bull just screams no, and he goes, just pull, and he goes, fuck. He goes.
Right.
And again, right away, the Dutch farmer and his daughter try to help him with his wound, because Bull has a shrapnel wound in his I guess in his arm or in his
Kind of
shoulder.
shoulder blade-ish, kind of upper shoulder blade.
And I mean, the you know this farmer must have taken a quick medical course, a first aid course in order to be able to figure out how to deal with
Yeah, well,
this.
as a kid that grew up on a farm, sometimes you got to be your own vet, and because you're out in the sticks. So sometimes to help the animal, you gotta figure stuff out. And I'm sure that's what this guy's calling on is. I do love the moment that this guy just goes, "Oh my," I don't know what he's saying in Dutch, but he's like, I imagine he's just saying, "My f***ing huge sausage fingers, are too big, and as a guy with big hands, I really felt for the man in in that moment where you just got these big f***ing banana mitts, and you're just not good at the fine tuning. Anyway, but
Makes sense.
yeah. So yeah, I really like that moment. But yeah, I imagine this guy's, I remember there were times like a horse got kicked by another horse, and you're down there with some helping your I'm holding the horse's leg, and my mom's down there with some alcohol and dental floss, and just a needle, and just stitching the horse up, because that's what we had,
Oh, wow.
and it ended up working out just fine, so yeah, it's just I think that's probably what this farmer's pulling on, as far as experience goes. And then I also love, I love Bulls. It's like, stop around, it's like, just pull it out,
That's right. He just takes out his knife and says, all
Right.
right,
He's like, yeah,
just
he's like,
now.
seriously, like, let's get after it, let's get going.
That's right.
Yeah, the fact that he pulls out his knife and gives it to the guy is, well, and once again, that's, that's establishing trust, and
Exactly.
yeah, so a lot of really very quickly we have a lot of shortcuts in character development here, very, in a very quick way. It's very efficient storytelling, I will say.
Well, it has to be because there's so much that's going on. I mean,
Right,
it's one of the things that I've discussed many times is that the number of guys that were in Easy Company, in the real Easy Company, and the number of them that are featured here, they could have written numerous miniseries if they wanted to start talking about everyone. There's so much going on.
I always say, when I get talking about World War II, like, we're still learning new stories.
That's right.
Like today, like, we're still learning new stories are coming out currently about stuff that happened in World War II. And it's just never ending. You just can't wrap your head around the scope of experiences that happened, and they're all different, and they're all nuanced, and it's just amazing. There's this whole new story out about these like German spies in Hawaii, and it's this woman basically learns out that, like, learns that her grandparents were Nazi spies. And like had no idea. Yeah. And it's super compelling. And yeah. Anyway. Yeah, and they're literally the ones that like helped orchestrate like Pearl Harbor and shit. And she's just like this normal like American woman, now. But yeah, it just yeah, end up finding out that her I guess it would have been her like great grandparents like were yeah, we're Nazi spies. And boy, I'm like,
Well,
wow. I was like, I go, wow, That's a bombshell to all of a sudden learn that that's in your lineage, you know?
Yeah, and to have to try and figure out how to deal with that,
Well,
you know,
yeah,
all
and
these
then,
years later also.
well, yeah, and then like, you know, if they were those type of people that could do stuff like that, it could I be a type of person that could do this? Anyway, she talks about that sort of stuff,
Oh, well.
and just like, and you know, I was talking to my dad about that story. He was the one telling me it, and I go, it's kind of the same thing. It's like, you know, my grandpa, he was this POW and did amazing things during the war, and was, you know, a hero for his country and stuff like that. I go, but that doesn't, just because he did that, that doesn't reflect on me in any way, I don't think. Like, I'm glad he did that. I'm proud that he did that, you know, but like, I don't think that transfers to me in any way. I have to do, you know, I have to be that kind of person on my own, you know. So the fact that this lady's parents were spies, we're getting way into the weeds here. but the fact is, the ladies were
It's
spies.
fun, it's fun.
Yeah, the fact that this lady's, you know, great grandparents were Nazi spies and basically orchestrated Pearl Harbor, I don't think that weighs on her as a person.
No,
I
not at
don't think
all.
it should. And that's just my opinion. But anyway,
Right. Unless
so.
she was indoctrinated or something like
Yeah, I
that.
mean, unless she's still you know, harboring Nazi tendencies you know, trying to orchestrate things
Exactly.
that way,
Yeah, that's the only
then
way. Yeah,
I think
yeah.
you're free and clear, man. Like, I think you're good. So
That's right.
just be a good person. So anyway,
Now, what I found really funny, and well, obviously, you know, we have 3 days of conversation basically about Bull in the Barn. There's 4 lines in the book that talk about this entire experience, and that's it. You know, so it's on page 100 of the book, and it says Randleman, who had been in the van, got hit in the shoulder and cut off from his squad. He ducked into a barn. A little bit of spoilers of what we're going to talk about over the next 2 days, but whatever. A German soldier came running in behind him. Randleman bayoneted the man, killed him, and covered his body with hay. Then he covered himself up with hay and hid out. That's all it says.
Right,
That's
right.
it. So the idea that the writer decided, all right, you know what, I'm going to give this, he's in a barn, so why don't we just bring a farmer into the barn, and why don't we bring his daughter into the
Yeah,
barn, and
we're gonna make this a whole set piece.
that's right.
Yeah.
And
Yeah,
they
that's,
do it really well.
yeah, they do. They do a great job.
Yeah, and Bull basically takes control of the situation when they start hearing all the Germans around. You know, he doesn't want to have to you know, to have to fight off all these Germans by himself with the whole thing. And you know, we see that both the Dutch farmer and his daughter are slightly scared about the whole thing, but you know, I guess it goes back to what we saw over the last few weeks, how the Dutch just love the Americans who've come to liberate them.
Well, yeah,
So.
and but also, you know, they know if they get caught in here with this guy, like, they're fucking dead too, you know.
That's right. They know that.
Like, they 100% know that. So
Yeah, but
they're,
my assumption is they're in the barn because they're hiding out from all the fighting. That would be my assumption. I don't think he was there tending to the horses or the cows or whatever the, you know.
no, I agree. I gotta say, I really like the there is a nice little POV shot of Bull looking out the window with the kind of the glass around the edges of the frame at the soldiers. I just really like that shot. I just wanted to call that out real quick. But yeah, and so he's trying to get them out of the barn and isn't able to do that fast enough. And yeah, and then the guy and then the Germans come bursting in.
Right, but before we even get there, back to when the Dutch guy is, you know, he gives him the knife and he's helping him, you know, he's trying to get it to tend to his wound. So the Dutch guy takes out a flask of booze and pours
Oh
it on
yeah.
the wound,
Right.
and then looks at it and realizes it's not really helping, and then takes a swig.
Well, no, and offers it to Bull first.
Right.
It's like,
Yeah, he offers the bull, he doesn't want it.
Which I think this whole thing is, you know, if he'd really been thinking, he should have offered it, then poured it, and then taken a swig himself. You know, I think
Yeah,
that would have been
probably.
probably the proper order. But he's like, no, you've already poured it on my wound. I don't need it now. You know,
That's right. Yeah. And he pulled out a huge, huge piece of shrapnel from
Oh
his
yeah,
shoulder.
it's like, yeah, I mean, it's about what, about 2 by 3 inches? Like, it's a
Something
chunk of,
like that, yeah.
yeah, it's a chunk of metal, man. No
It's probably
thanks.
from one of the tanks that exploded. That would be my guess.
Yeah, and I think the reason it's not, you know, it's not a more mortal wound is it's right on the shoulder blade there. It probably just hit the bone and stopped,
Right.
you know. That big scapula bone there. That's probably what, you know, that big shoulder blade saved him.
And thankfully, he had a handkerchief or some cloth nearby, and tried to stop up the wound at that point.
Yeah, pretty hastily. But yeah,
Yeah.
it was well intentioned, I think, but as we'll see, probably did more harm than good.
Well, yes and no. Yes and no. Well, I'm saying yes and no because the three of them. Spoiler alert, the three of them end up surviving, so it's not like
Right.
it's and because it's based on a true a true event,
Right.
we know Bull survived it. So
Yeah.
granted he just hid in the hay and didn't have to worry about the farmer and the farmer's daughter, but
Right, right.
and
Yeah.
we can go down a real long rabbit hole about the jokes about the farmer and the farmer's
Right,
daughter, but
right, right,
we
right.
won't go there.
Yeah. So we could get some real Norm Macdonald shit going on.
I would even go back further, and when I grew up in the 70s and 80s, we had those books, Truly Tasteless Jokes.
Right, right. Yeah. No, I know those. I had a friend, my friend Mike Verhulst, his father had a 3 volumes of those behind his wet bar in the living room. So
Okay, makes sense.
yeah, we found those in high school, and we're
Exactly.
I still remember a couple. I won't tell them here. But no, I just meant Norm Macdonald because he had a penchant for those old timey jokes, especially when he got on Conan.
I love Norm Macdonald.
Yeah, yeah.
He was great.
I think he liked telling those because it just kind of wasted people's time, and he thought that was funny.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. Right.
So after Bull looks through the window and runs across the barn, and then we see that the this crudely placed handkerchief slash cloth just falls on the ground, with all the blood on it.
Right.
They give us a nice shot of it just to show us that, oh, look what he just did.
Yep. Yeah, it's gonna be they're like, yeah, we're gonna show this. Don't worry, it's not gonna come in.
It's Chekhov's bloody handkerchief.
Yeah, I was gonna say, check out Blade the handkerchief, only we're gonna see what happens in the next 3 minutes. Yep.
Exactly.
Instead of Act Three, you know.
Exactly. And
anyway.
it's great that when Bull is trying to help them, the farmer gives him back his knife.
Right.
And it just takes a second for him to give it back. It's as if you might need this. Hint, hint. Here we go
Right.
again. Chekhov's bloody knife.
Yeah, 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 the, yeah, the, yeah, Chekhov's bayonet. The,
Exactly.
yeah, yeah, and then they kind of stop and handshake, and, yeah, seemed
Yeah, and then they're in hiding on the side as four Germans come into the barn, start looking around with flashlights, looking for
Right.
something. I don't really know what they're looking for.
Yeah, I was wondering that. I'm like, what is their motivation to come in here?
Maybe they know there's a farmer's daughter.
Yeah, maybe. That doesn't seem to be. They seem to just be kind of jovial and not really worrying like anything
Right.
might be in here.
Well, shortly we'll figure out why one of them is there. but
Right. Yeah. One guy.
The other three, I don't know. They're looking for something. I don't know what they're looking for. Maybe they're
And
looking
then,
for food. Maybe they're looking for I don't know. And we get a nice shot of Bull watching them as they're looking around, and then three of the guys just leave, and one guy stays because he needs to relieve himself.
Yeah, I
And
was gonna say, as my grandfather would say, his back teeth were floating,
there you go. There you go. Which is a phrase that we dealt with earlier in this season, where I think Martin says my back teeth are floating, and he goes off to the bathroom. He
There you
just
go.
yeah. So it does fit in there. But I actually looked up a list of euphemisms for peeing. You have any others that you want to throw out before I do my final?
I gotta go see a man about a horse. Is that on your list?
We'll get to it. We'll get to the list. Just I'm letting you throw some out and see what's there.
I'm trying to think. I love all that old-timey slang sort of stuff. Those are the two that are coming to mind.
Okay. All right. So again, just randomly going through this list, nature calls, which makes sense. Okay. Powder my nose. Obviously that's usually used by women as opposed to men.
I've heard that, but I've heard that, but I always thought that had to do with cocaine use. Like
It depends on the venue. Freshen up, number one as opposed to number two. Pay the water bill.
Oh, I like that one. That's good.
Okay, spend a penny.
Okay.
Which goes back to it's a British expression that goes back to the time when you actually had to pay a penny to use the public toilets. Yeah,
We back when pay toilets were a thing.
exactly. Take a leak. Break the seal. Tinkle or piddle. Drain the lizard or snake. Here's yours. See a man about a horse.
See a man about a horse.
Do you know when that when that, where that phrase comes from?
I do not know. I just know I like that one. So,
Okay, it is
because
a
it's because it's
Victorian
just
era.
it's so innocuous.
Yeah, completely. It goes all the way back to Victorian era, and it's to use to excuse oneself for an inappropriate reason, including the bathroom. Here's the next one. My back teeth are floating.
There we go.
My back teeth are floating.
Well, and if you've ever seen a horse take a leak, like I always thought that had something to do with it as well. So.
Visit the little boys' or girls' room. Check the waterfall. Wring out a kidney.
Ring out a kidney. I've never heard that one. Wow.
My eyeballs are floating,
Oh, that's, yeah.
which is connected obviously to my back teeth are floating.
Right,
Drain
right.
the radiator. Point Percy at the porcelain.
Okay.
Obviously, that's a British phrase that uses
Yeah, I
alliteration.
was gonna say an American has never been named Percy.
No, probably not. Shake hands with an old friend. Strain the greens. Wink at the
Strain.
loo.
Oh, I get it. All right.
Siphon the python.
Just another drain the snake rhyme.
Exactly. Go see a man about a dog, which is similar to the horse. Usually, it says here that usually seeing a man about a horse means that you need to use a number two, and seeing a man about a dog is a smaller job that needs to be done.
Oh, interesting.
Water the desert, check the waterfall, visit the used beer department. That's a good one. Return some rented water, go to the library. Interesting. And drain the potatoes.
Okay, interesting.
Okay.
Because yeah, drain the potatoes. It's like wastewater. I get it. Okay, cool.
Yeah, exactly. So while this guy is doing all of these euphemisms that
we're... yeah, well, he's doing those thousand things.
he starts. You see, first of all, I think it's very funny that, and maybe you can even answer this question because you said you grew up, around a barn, mm-hmm. or on a farm, so you had a barn. Doesn't it make more sense to take a leak outside as opposed to inside? Because, you know, inside it's going to just smell more afterwards.
Well, we almost, if we did relieve ourselves in at the barn, it almost always would be inside.
Really? Why?
Because that's where the animal, you'd just do it into, you know, the animals would.
You're saying it already smells, so it's not going to make a difference.
Well, because the animals, poop and pee in their stalls at night, typically mm-hmm. in one corner, because even animals are, most of them tend to be pretty tidy in their own way. But yeah, you would just, if you had to go, you'd just, you know, pee on the horse pile in the corner, and you know, eventually it all would get scooped up, so it didn't really matter. You would only obviously number one in the barn. You wouldn't take in the barn. You'd go inside for that. But if you just had to pee, you just do it on top of the horse pile, and
that makes sense.
Yeah. So, and then it would just get scooped out by somebody later, maybe even yourself, and not a really big deal. But
right. Okay. Fair enough.
So yeah, this didn't strike me as odd at all to do it inside the barn.
Okay. Well, that's why I asked you, and that's why I'm glad that you're the guest on this episode.
There we go. Yeah.
Because I'm assuming that most people who've been my guests would not know the answer to that. So there you go.
Yeah, so no, it didn't strike me as odd in the slightest. Nope.
Fate.
There you go.
As the guy's walking out, he looks down and sees this bloody handkerchief and picks it up and is trying to figure out why is there a fresh or a handkerchief with fresh blood on it? You know, what is going on? He starts looking around, trying to figure out what's going on. Right. And at this point, Bull takes his bayonet and puts it at the end of his gun, realizing that he's probably about to have some sort of confrontation here.
Right.
And for some reason, they keep showing us the farmer's daughter. I don't know why.
Well, you know, she's the innocent in this whole scenario, you know. She's the youngest person in the scenario. So I think that's probably the reason they're cutting to her. And then, you know, ultimately she's the reason. Cause this German, you know, he's genuinely interested in this bloody handkerchief.
That's right.
But ultimately he's going to peace out and like not walk around with whatever this is. You know, and you know, I think he goes, hey, I'm all by myself. This is just going to get me in trouble if I investigate this. You know, I'm just going to peace out and let live and let live, you know. But then little Dutch girl, you know, accidentally bumps the milk pail or whatever.
Right.
And that sets off a whole chain of events, unfortunately, or fortunately, depending on how you look at it.
Well, for Bullet, fortunate, how's that?
right. It's or fortunate in the grand scheme of things that there's, you know, another dead Nazi, which is tends to be a good thing in my opinion. But
yeah, I agree.
Yeah. So, but unfortunate for the soldier who was gonna just leave and you know leave well enough alone. You know.
That's
right. So
my first thought was, and he just took a leak. You know, he's feeling better now.
right. Yeah. He's light on his toes.
So, exactly. And as he hears her, hit the pail or whatever it is, he quickly jumps around. Yeah, he starts pointing his gun into the barn, knowing there is something in the barn. And, he
Right.
starts speaking German and, trying to figure out what's going on. And Bull realizes that he's going to have to act here.
Yeah. There's something I'd like to point out to people that are watching this. This is a great, this sequence is just full of, I love it when they do frames inside of frames. Do you know what I mean? We have the frame of our screen, and then there's Bull behind the post. That's him framed. There's these big beams, in the barn that are constantly being used as like framing device, like while he's taking a leak, and then you get kind of the over the shoulder of the girl, looking at the soldier, and that's a whole kind of frame within a frame. Anyway, I love that that look of kind of it's it's this wide, it's these wide shots, but yet it's intimate, it's constricting, it's at times claustrophobic, and it just really shows the I think it really on a subconscious level kind of shows the close proximity of everyone and kind of how tight-knit this whole encounter is. Do you know what I mean? So anyway, I just wanted to point that out. It just
No, it's
a
great.
kind of visual language there that I
Yeah, of
just
course.
really enjoy. So
Yeah. And I mean, Bull at this point realizes he doesn't have a choice and basically charges at the guy, trying to parry with his gun, and the German tries shooting him in his gun jam.
Right. Yeah.
So then
Yeah, where's
they sort of it looks like they're
where's your
having a sword fight with their guns.
right, where's your German engineering now? So,
And Bull manages to stab the guy, and he actually manages to slice Bull's hand, maybe something like that. It looks like he cuts him also.
Yeah, I don't know if the guy has a I don't think the guy has a bayonet, or maybe he has a knife on him and gets
No,
him.
but when he hits Bull.
Yeah, I'm re-looking at it here. So his
Ah,
gun
maybe he
jams.
just bangs, maybe he just bangs the gun against his arm.
Yeah, so he gets him in the ribs. Oh yeah, and then he just hits him with his gun, basically, like
Right.
a
Okay. Yeah, he didn't cut him. He just hit him.
just like a bat, basically.
Right, and then he's holding his gun backwards,
Yeah, like a
trying to fire
club.
again.
Yeah, he's like,
Exactly.
yeah, like a club.
Exactly. And Bull takes no bull.
Right. Yeah, and yeah, you're in bad shape when you're using your gun as a club.
Exactly.
Yeah, that's
And Bull eventually just smashes the guy in the face.
Well, and of course, Bull knows he can't. He knows that he can't use his gun. Because even if this guy got a shot off and missed,
And he's alerted everyone.
he still alerted everyone, and Bull's probably dead then too. So, or at least captured. So I mean, it's all pretty dang lucky, but.
Yeah,
There's
for
no
sure.
short. There's no shortage of being lucky in World War II.
Exactly.
Yeah. So.
And Bull then smashes the guy in the face. The guy falls down, and then we see quite graphically that Bull just stabs the guy in the head a few times, with his bayonet.
Yeah. Once it looks like right through the center of the chest, probably right in the heart, and
And
then
then
falls it up. With a couple right to the face, and which is really framed nicely. It's that same frame from the Dutch girl's point of view, and it's just out of the real graphic face stab is just out of that that interior frame in that shot, and which I think is nicely done. I always think that graphic violence is better to be implied than shown. Because it's, I think what your brain can come up with is always, I guess, better or worse than what they can
It's
show,
more
right?
imaginative.
Right. I think it's always more graphic what you can imagine than what they can show. So,
Probably true. I would agree with that statement.
yeah. So, and then just cutting directly back to the girl's horrified face. I mean, that just goes right into that, basically what I just said,
For
I
sure.
think what I think seeing her face instead of seeing the German's face get stabbed, really, is effective. So,
Yes. And as we get the shot of the girl looking on, that's where this 5-minute segment ends. So, is there anything else you wanted to say about this particular segment?
I don't know. I think we covered it pretty good.
Okay. Great.
Yeah, you mentioned I did want to say you mentioned spoilers a couple times during this episode. If I just want to say to people, if you haven't watched Band of Brothers, please stop listening. And I don't know what you're doing or what's wrong with you, but go. I guess thanks for listening to Rob and me, but go watch this entire series and then come back
Then come back and
and
listen to
uh
it.
and then listen. That's the way this is supposed to be done. So,
Yes, of course. Again, I'm aware of the fact that someone has to be completely crazy to be listening to this if they've never seen Band of Brothers. I'm aware of that, but I can still say spoiler from the perspective of them, assuming that it hasn't happened
I know
yet while
it's
we're
it's
discussing
mo it's
it.
It, it's mostly me just ribbing you, so
No, that's okay. You can rip all you want. That's fine. Again, I would be very, very shocked if someone is listening to this who's never watched this. So if that is the case, please let me know. I'm curious to know. I know that there are Movies by Minute guests that sometimes don't watch the movie and just talk about a particular the minutes that they're dealing with.
That's also
Which
great. That's also insane to me.
again, I was just about to say that it doesn't make any sense. Because most of the time that I've had those encounters, whether it's on my show or on other shows, no offense to any of my guests, you're missing something by thinking
I mean, I don't know how you can,
the
speak
context
to,
is missing.
speak to an experience that's only, a minute long.
Exactly.
Anyway, I mean, but yeah, no, I think we did this do justice, and
Yes, I agree. I agree. All right, so today's segment is Band Brand, where we will have my guest tell everyone his top five fictional movie bands. Why don't you start with your number five and work your way up?
Okay, number five, I have Sex Bob-omb, from Scott Pilgrim. Was it Versus the Universe? Versus the World?
I think
What's the name of
it's
that film?
Versus the Universe.
Versus the
Scott
Universe,
Pilgrim. No, Scott Pilgrim. No, maybe it is the world. You got me on that one also.
Anyway, it's a great graphic novel, series of graphic novels if you haven't read them. But it's also a great movie. And then currently, I think Netflix just got the entire movie cast back, and they did a animated version of the graphic novels with the cast from the movies.
Scott
That's
Pilgrim
also
versus the world. There you
There we go. So anyway, that just currently came on Netflix. Anyway, so if you like Scott Pilgrim at all, check out all of those things. And Sex Bob-omb is all those songs are actually written by Beck. So if you're a Beck fan, that's some cool stuff to check out. So that's my number five. I actually just thought of one right now that I'm gonna slot that in for one of these other ones. So do I go to number four now, or how does this
Yeah,
work?
usually after number five comes number four when you're counting down.
Okay, very good. Anyway,
Usually,
I
you
yeah, I didn't know if you had anything to comment on Sex Bob-omb, but yeah,
No.
anyway. But all right, so number four. The one I'd written down, but I actually thought of another one. So I'm going to say what I wrote down originally, but then just now I thought of a different one. So I'm going to kind of cheat here. Anyway, so I had, there's a moment in Memphis Belle where Harry Connick Jr. goes and they goad him, and he goes up and he sings with like the USO band. The night before they go out for their 25th mission, which could be their final mission if they are successful. Anyway, and that's just a
Or
great
not.
moment, and or not, yeah. But anyway, that's just a great moment. It's not really a band, so but you know, this is a World War II Band of Brothers podcast, so. I thought that would be a nice mention, but the one I thought of that's actually probably a better one is Studio 666, the Foo Fighters movie, which is kind of hit or miss, but there's a fictional band in that, and that the Foo Fighters actually recorded a whole album of death metal, basically, that was the band that before they, if you know the movie, they go there and it's this mansion where they're recording an album, and they subsequently become like haunted by the ghosts that are in. It's very silly and fun, and I don't remember the name of the band off the top of my head, but I'm gonna have it here in just a second. Dream Widow is the fictional band. Yeah. Anyway, so they actually made a real album of the fake band that came before them in that movie, if any of that just made sense. But and
Definitely.
then number three, I'm gonna go with Marvin Marvin Berry and the
Marvin Berry.
Starlighters. Marvin Berry and the Starlighters,
Calvin Klein.
featuring Calvin Klein. There you go, that's a better way to put it. It's written
Who's
all over
sometimes known
Zucker.
as Marty.
Yeah, sometimes known as Marty McFly. What a nice name. So I love that one. And then for number two, I'm gonna go with the 2001 remake of a cartoon, Josie and the Pussycats. If you've never seen that movie, it looks terrible by all the ads or trailers. It's actually a very wonderful, scathing satire of the music business and how bands can be essentially made and become a commodity to be sold and doled out. Anyway, but it's got some real ripper kind of fun early 2000 kind of punk pop girl punk pop sort of songs. Anyway, that's good stuff. And then my number one is it's got to be Stillwater from Cameron Crowe's Almost Famous. That band, that fake band, totally rips and is super awesome. So
All right, that is a great list.
thank you.
Excellent. Thank you for that.
I think that fake band was made up of what, Nancy Hart, or no, Nancy Wilson from Heart, Peter Frampton, and then Mike Mike McCready, I think, from Pearl Jam. I know it's one of the Pearl Jam guys. Anyway, so that's not too shabby.
Yeah, not at all. Not at all.
Yeah, so.
All right. Excellent. And now we will play the daily game of Name That World War II Movie, where I
Okay.
will give you some hints, and you have to try and guess what World War II movie we're talking about. So let's spin the wheel and see where it gets us.
Okay.
Round and round and round the wheel goes. This is a film from 2006 starring George Clooney, Kate Blanchett, and Tobey Maguire.
That would be The Good German.
Yes, it would be. All right, excellent. Nicely done.
Thank you.
Okay, some of them are easier than others, some of them are harder than
I
others.
would like I would like to say to just not to toot my own horn, but I've never seen that movie.
But you still knew what it was. There you go.
I still knew it.
Excellent.
That's a is that a is that a Steven Soderbergh? I think that might be.
I believe it is, yeah.
That's
Yes,
one of
of
the
course it
few
is.
well that's one of the few of his I haven't
All
seen.
right. Would you like to tell everyone where they can find you?
Check out the Real Jaws Minute. Me and my buddy Jeremy Sternhagen, we go through the movie Jaws 1 minute at a time. You can also check me out on a bunch of other minute by minutes. If you just search my name on Apple Podcasts, you'll see I pop up here and there. But currently not recording anything, but Jared and I are trying to get something going again soon. So
Oh,
that's
wow.
basically it. Just
Look forward to it.
anywhere you can grab podcasts, as they say.
All right, excellent. And finding me is very simple. Just do a quick search for Movie Around Minute. You can find me on Facebook, you can find me on Twitter, you can find me on Instagram, you can find me on my website, moviearoundminute.com. And if you want to send me an email, you can send it to moviearoundminute@moviearound.net. So, until tomorrow, curry!
Curry!